Jim, thank you for sharing your talents and your faith with us this season. We really appreciate it. Second scripture reading comes from Matthew, and interesting portion of Matthew. We never know in the Bible time frames, whether a week has passed or 2 weeks has passed or a day has passed. But if it's a short period of time, you talk about a busy week. Jesus was rebuffed for preaching in his own town, sort of the you can't be a prophet in your own land. Then he heard the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And as he went to get away by boat, the crowds gathered and he wound up preaching. And they ran out of food, and the parable of the loaves. And an interesting part of that is that we talk about feeding the 5,000. If you read it closely, it says 5,000 men besides the children and women. So was it 7,000? Was it 8,000? Who knows? But all this was going on, and yet Jesus was still getting away from the crowds, and this occurred. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of that night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
I wonder if any of you have ever experienced the same thing I have. I had these dreams when I was in high school, and I'm not sure why I had these dreams, but have you ever dreamed that you were flying? Not in a plane, I mean that you were flying yourself. Any of you had those kind of dreams? Yeah. Kind of cool, you know, where you can kind of fly high or fly low and fly wherever you want to fly and go wherever you want to go. There's something freeing about that. There's something about that that just kind of, you know, those were wonderful dreams. And we've had other dreams, some of them maybe not so pleasant. Some of them might be nightmares. I would share a couple with you, but I thought, nah, I'm not going to even share those kind of dreams that I had. But, well, maybe I'll share one. No, I probably shouldn't do that. I won't. But when I was thinking about the verses in Isaiah chapter 40, I'm struck by this soaring like an eagle. And maybe that's kind of what I felt like when I was having these dreams. I was soaring like an eagle, going wherever I wanted to go. But I realized something. When you look at birds and when they fly, in order for them to fly, they must fly, start out by moving forward to get into the air. You know, when I was on the farm, we had these crazy birds called Sandy Hill cranes. And sometimes when we would have a field of oats or something, they would try to locate a portion of the field where the oats had not grown very well, and they would all land there and just flatten everything in a certain amount of area. And the reason for that was because Sandy Hill cranes need to take a few steps before they get airborne to fly. If they were to land in the middle of the field where it was very, very thick, it would have been much harder for them to do that because it would take an awful lot of padding down of what was going on there for them to have their airstrip in order to fly. And I thought, how that is also like you and me. How that is also like you and me. In order to fly, we have to move forward. In order to go somewhere, in order to soar, in order to go where I believe God's calling us to go, we have to take a risk and move forward. We got to move forward to fly. But fear holds us back. You know, I understand that wind currents at different altitudes, they might be opposite or varying in their direction. You know, a lot of times when you're flying in a plane and you have turbulence at a certain altitude, and they'll try to find some other place where they can fly a lot more gracefully and easily. And isn't it somewhat, again, the same for us as we take this imagery in the book of Isaiah chapter 40? And think about if we're going to make our way to where God wants us to go and to soar on wings like eagles, we have to find where the wind of the Spirit is. We need to find that place where God is guiding you. And it may mean along the way that we have currents going against where we're wanting to go. And there'll be struggles along the way. But we need to find where God wants us to go and where God wants us to be. With the wind of His Holy Spirit, you know, guiding us along the way. I thought that was a good start to even going into this text about Peter. It's interesting, I heard last week because I had done a typo when I gave it to Judy and then the bulletin. I think Deb had to read almost the entire chapter. I meant it just starting with verse 22, but she started with verse 2 and took you all the way through verse 33. I thought, boy, you have a lot to cover, Mike. What about Peter? Peter's kind of the subject, in a sense, of this text and some of the things that are going on. He had just witnessed, previous to this text, the feeding of the 5,000. What a marvelous miracle that was to watch with just the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And how, as Bill even explained, 5,000 plus many Jesus fed. And how it must have been such an encouragement to the disciples to witness something so powerful. To know that they'd been following someone who could do something so great. And yet here we are, right after this, the word used immediately, so it must have been very soon thereafter, this story that we read this morning. Before they were with Jesus and the 5,000 plus, now they're in a boat and Jesus isn't there. There's a different scenario though, there isn't there? They're in the boat and Jesus isn't there. Oh, Jesus is coming, and He told them that He would meet them. He told them that He would catch up with them later, but He's not actually in the boat with them. And there's this storm, and there's things going on, the waves and the wind, the water, and they're getting scared. Not scared just because of that, but scared because they saw someone out there in the water and they weren't exactly sure who it was. The storm's there. And Jesus arrives, although not even recognized at first. And I wonder sometimes in your life and mine, when we go through some of the struggles and the storms in our life, and Jesus is there, He's there. We may not sense Him right there with us, but Jesus is there. In fact, I know He's there with us, because in His Word He says that when we give our life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit resides within us. A little different scenario than with the disciples. He's always with us. But sometimes in the storm, we don't recognize that He's with us. We're so overwhelmed by whatever storm's going on, we're overwhelmed by all the things that we're looking at, that we don't realize that Jesus is actually there. And the disciples who were in that boat, scared to death, they see Jesus out there on the water. Not sure it's Him, but Jesus tells them it is He. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. As Jesus' voice is heard by Peter, he thinks maybe indeed this is Jesus. So he, being the one who oftentimes is the first to talk anyway, he jumps out of the boat and he starts stepping on the water at Jesus' invitation. And at first he's mesmerized by this one who's out there on the water. But then as he starts moving in the direction of where Jesus is, he loses sight of Jesus and he looks and he sees, I'm out here. I have no boat. And the winds and the waves are torrential. What am I going to do? He must have taken his eyes off Jesus for a moment to see all that, because you know, if his eyes had just been focused on Jesus the whole time, he probably wouldn't have noticed everything that was going on around him. Is that not too the way you and I are so many times in our lives? When the storms come our way, we can lose sight of the one who's there to save us. The one who said he already did save us. Peter learned a lesson. As he's sinking, he's noticing all the stuff around him. It's sinking him. He has no strength, no courage to face what's going on. And he cries out, and Jesus' hand is extended out to him and grabs him, and he lifts him out of the water from which he was sinking. It's a beautiful story, because it's a story, I believe, about the way things are with us so many times. I think about, as I've not been here, and we were having our series of stewardship messages, and I only had one. Ed took over 2 weeks ago. Mike took over last week. When I was thinking about this story, in addition to the stories that are the words that we were talking about early on about the body of Christ, that each one of us are a part of that body, and some of us may feel like our part of the body is very insignificant. But I think if you'll dive into this story with me, you'll understand as well, no matter what it is that your part is in the body of Christ, Jesus is calling you and I to step out of that boat and just trust Him with whatever it is He's given us to do. What was Peter's downfall? Maybe we can learn something from that. First, we need to acknowledge he took a risk. What happened to the other ones in the boat? They were just scared to death in the boat, fearful of what was going on. But Peter took a risk, and I think we've got to give him credit for that, because sometimes Peter were a little hard on him. Those times he did fumble and trip and fall, and things happened, and he wasn't always the star in the story. Instead, he was the one who messed up. But he did take the risk. But he saw the stuff that was going on around him. He became fearful. He was overwhelmed. Doubt started to creep in. He forgot who he was moving towards. He forgot about that for a moment. He forgot who was sustaining him on the water. He forgot for a moment. He lost sight of his purpose. They had been following Jesus for a while now, and he forgot for just a little bit what his purpose was. It was to do God's bidding, to follow Jesus Christ. He had just seen him do that miracle, as we said. He forgot. Jesus is able, more than able. I want to ask us a question this morning in regards to our lives, what God has given us, who we are in Him, the gifts that God has given to us. And I want to ask us about what holds us back. What holds us back from doing what God's called us to do? You know, when we join the Church of Jesus Christ and we share the liturgy, and I mean formally join the church, not when you accepted Christ as your Savior, but when those who want to join the local church, and we share in this liturgy together, that sometimes we forget what in the world we even said. There are five things that we say we will claim to do as a member of God's church, and one is that we would keep the church in our prayers, that we would be present as part of the body, that we would share of the gifts that God has given us with the church, that we will serve where God has called us to serve. And fifth, that we would be a witness to God's saving grace. We are held back from doing that, I think, because of our fears, our inadequacies. We're not much in the body of Christ. We're not that significant. What holds us back from jumping out of that boat? Or what holds us back from soaring like an eagle? I think oftentimes it's fear or insecurity or inadequacy. I can't do that. I can't do what you've called me to do. And so what do? We sit in the boat. Or we stand there and we don't move forward. We can't fly. We just stay where we're at. Maybe it's because we're looking around us and seeing all the things that are going on. Maybe it's outside, maybe it's inside. And we wonder, where are you in all this, God? I can say with absolute conviction, as I've been going through a storm, God is here. We need to stop being so distracted by all the things that weigh us down, the things that make us feel inadequate, the things that make us think I'm better where I'm at than I am anywhere else. I put my absolute trust and faith in Jesus Christ that He'll keep His word. He showed it over and over and over again to the disciples, and yet here was another moment, and He was going to show it to them, but they had their doubts, didn't they? And sometimes you and I have our doubts as well. But I hope after you've had that doubt, you'll settle in and realize He is trustworthy. God is faithful. Jesus will never let go of you. Jesus will never let you down. That you have with you something that I don't believe Peter and the disciples had at that time in the same way that you and I do now. And that is, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us every moment of every day of our lives. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. In Christ, Jesus reached out and caught Peter. Remember, He's right there to reach out and catch you. He keeps His promises. There's never been a promise that God has never kept. Look in His Word, find out for yourself. There are some promises that are yet in the future, and I believe if He's fulfilled all those that were in the past, I can trust Him 100% to keep every promise that is yet to be, including the coming again of Jesus Christ in glory to take His church home. God oftentimes tells us to get out of the boat, just like He does in the book of Micah in the Old Testament, where He was talking about those who struggle with this area of their life. You know, God, I don't have much. I don't have much. Still don't have hardly anything to give to You. And God says, trust Me. Trust Me. Have I not provided for you? Each and every day of your life, have I not provided for you? Have I not fed you? Have I not clothed you? Have I not helped you when times were not good? And He says, trust Me in this too. That's why in this one area that we talk about in stewardship, but stewardship is not about just this one area. Say, trust Him with your stuff. Trust Him with your material possessions. He says in Micah 3:10, test Me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you'll not have enough room for it. Make God a priority in every area of your life. Step out of the boat. Take a step forward and fly. I want to ask this in the closing question. And I'm using this word in a way that we rarely use it, but it's this. Who is ultimately in charge of your economy? What do I mean by that? Who is in charge of the one who takes care of everything that is about you? Is it you? Or is it God? When I'm overwhelmed with the stuff of life, I need to trust God with the stuff of life. Whether it's health, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's feeling like things may be a little bit out of control, give it to God. Trust Him with your economy. Trust Him with all that is about and around you that makes you who you are. Trust Him with all the things that you have in your life. Trust God to always be there, that He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. Get out of the boat. Soar. Put Him in charge of what area of your life that you're still hanging on to and won't let go of. In those areas of our life, we're still sitting in the boat. Or we're still standing on the ground. We're not moving forward so that we can soar. Trust Him with everything. Because God is definitely and unequivocally trustworthy. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank You that we can trust You even with the unexpected and the unanticipated stuff in our lives. Help us to trust You when the storms come. Whatever those storms may be, help us to trust You that You are there. Even when the storm is so bad we sometimes can't see very well, You are there. You're reaching Your hand out to us and saying, come walk with Me as I walk with You. You are the only one that we can trust to be there all the time, always for us, because we won't always be there for each other. When You call us home, thank You. Thank You for Your promise that never ends. In Jesus' name, amen.